My name is Pastor Andy. I'm the lead congregational pastor here at City Light Delco. I want to welcome you, see lots of new faces and some faces who have been gone for a little bit, which is super exciting. I'm glad to have you back. I see some people looking around, like, what is all that noise? They're just, so you're not wondering the whole service. There's another church, a French-speaking church that rents the basement, and they're worshiping, and we're glad that they're here too, and they're our brothers and sisters. But that's what you hear. Everything's okay. So today, our text is on kind of an interesting issue. Now, just so you know a little bit about how we do things at City Light, is our typical pattern of preaching is we pick a book of the Bible and we preach through it from beginning to end. We do deviate from that sometimes, like we just preached a sermon on just 1 Corinthians 13. We just looked at that chapter. We've preached topical from here sometimes here and there, but our main diet of preaching comes from reading one book all the way through. And so one of the benefits of that is I don't get to pick the agenda of what we preach about in some sense, right? As it comes up in the text, we preach about it and we talk about it. And that's not any different than today's sermon. Today's sermon, I'm going to just jump out and give us the big idea because you'll see why I'm kind of setting this up. Our big idea today is rebuilding requires regathering. Rebuilding requires regathering. That big idea might already raise some emotions in some of us. We're talking about gathering in a time where gathering is in the news and we're told not to do it. The idea of gathering is a hot button issue. So before we dive into this, I just want to set some, not even ground rules, just some things that are always true, but we can always use a good reminder of, about Scripture and some principles about how we should be approaching the text and approaching sermons and the Word. So first is this, Scripture is the final word for the believer. That's always true. We submit to it in everything because it's the perfect word that comes from God. That's always true. So if we see something in Scripture, we do it. That should be the bent of our heart. Second, our feelings are not the final word. Also important to remember. When our feelings in Scripture don't align, therefore, we need to check our feelings and follow the Scriptures. We actually had a perfect example of that or reminder of that in our confession today. Oftentimes we see God's rules as restrictive or something for our not for our good. Well, those are our feelings. We need to check that and remind ourselves that no, this is the word of the Lord, and it's for our good. That's my third thing to remember, is God is good. His commands are for our benefit, whether they feel like it or not in the moment. Again, all of this is stuff you know. I just want to remind it and kind of set it out there before we jump into a hard topic. And finally, the church is united. Not like we want to be united. We are united. It's something that Jesus Christ actually died to purchase, is our unity. And he speaks as if it's already true in Scripture. He says, you are one, one body. So the church, follow me here on this, if the church is united and we're gathered around the Word of God, it is the one place where we should be able to talk about hard things, right? Whether that be race or politics or gathering together. So I want to put that all out there. You may not agree with me as we talk through this today. My caution to that is not to worry if you agree with me or not, but see if what I'm saying is what the Bible's saying, and if it's not, tell me about it. You have the right to do that. So now, we got that starting point. Let's look at God's Word with open hearts and open hands today, firing our inner lawyer, as I say often, to actually hear what God would have to say to us. Let's put down our defenses and be ready to see what it might have to say to us today. And that's defenses on those of us who are like, yeah, we have to regather right now and let's take off all our masks and do this thing. And then those of us who say, I can't believe there's any of us in this building right now. Okay, let's put that all down. So, as I said, rebuilding requires regathering. That's the big idea of this text. When we ended last week, we saw that we were talking about complacency and the work of building the wall, which is what Nehemiah has been about, rebuilding Jerusalem, was done. And so now Nehemiah said, okay, I don't want to be complacent just with rebuilding the city. The point was to gather God's people. So he lists the role, and they go and try to find all of the people that have scattered and bring them back in. When we pick up today, they've been brought in. They've been regathered. Gathering of God's people is a New Testament and an Old Testament idea. The Bible commands us to gather together. It's very, very clear all throughout the Bible. It's explicit and shouldn't in itself be a controversial idea. In most times, there should be no controversy about should we gather together. Here's some verses just to give you a smattering. I'm not going to give much commentary, just read them. So Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Okay, how do we do that? Right here. "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, "What then, brothers? When you come together," it's an assumption here, "each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." We gather together to build each other up. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all who had need, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And just to remind us, it's also in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 31, 12 to 13 says, "Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do the words of the law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the words of the law, or fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess." So it's clear throughout Scripture, I just picked a few verses, that the people of God are to gather regularly on the Lord's Day, which say on Sunday for us, and on at church, and also other days. In fact, church, the biblical word, the New Testament word, ekklesia, just means the assembly. Definitionally, the church is a gathering. Okay, it's not less than a gathering, but it's certainly a gathering, right? It's more than that in a lot of ways. But the word itself means to gather together or to assemble. That also means, we should say, that means to gather in the same place. Right? So that means it's not the same thing, and hear me out on all of this, as watching online. That's not gathering in the biblical sense of the word. That's not what's commanded here in these verses we saw. Watching on YouTube is a good thing. It's better than not being able to follow what is happening with your church, but it is not the same as gathering together. And that's where things get tricky, right? Not everyone is able to gather. That's true. Your elders believe that, or else we wouldn't even provide a live stream. We provide it because we think it is a good thing for some people to watch the live stream instead of gathering together. It's always been true that God's people couldn't all gather together. Shut-in ministry has been a thing since the beginning of the church, going out to those who couldn't come in. We have scripture where Jesus tells us that the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is for your good. You were not created to be some kind of Sabbath worshiper, right? The Sabbath was created for you because it is to your good. So we have two true things to hold in tension. This happens in the Bible a lot, right? God commands his people to gather. That's true. Yet some people can't. And judging by God's character and his commands and some things that Jesus said, it seems that he's not going to find fault in those who legitimately cannot gather as if they were committing some active sin, right? That we believe that. There may be seasons in life where you cannot attend the Lord's Day gatherings. Here, when you hear Lord's Day church, when you cannot attend the Sunday morning worship service. Again, your elders agree that this is a possibility. We agree that that's true. Otherwise, as I said, we wouldn't offer a live stream. If we thought it was inherently sinful for you to watch church online, we would not allow that as an option. And one day, Lord willing, when this virus is under control and restrictions are lifted, the live stream will go away, right, when it's no longer necessary. So today, I hope to bring some clarity from this passage. And we're not going to be able to give a full doctrine of the Lord's Day gathering today, but we're going to look at what this text has to say about it and why it's important. So first, our first point is that we gather to hear God's word. We gather to hear God's word. In a lot of ways, this is the crux of the text here. It's from verses 1 through 5. It tells us that the people gather together, I love this, as one man or one body. In other words, they're all united as a whole. This is a big deal. They've been scattered. They're being brought back together, and they unite. And what are they gathering to do? They're gathering to hear the commands of the Lord read aloud. God's word is to be gathered around by God's people. It's the focal point of our gatherings. This gathering right now that you're a part of is different. Every church gathering is different than any other gathering that happens across the face of the earth. Church gatherings are to revolve around God's word. Church is fundamentally different than your book club. Book clubs aren't bad. Or your CrossFit gym. CrossFit gyms aren't bad. It's fundamentally different than a group hangout or some kind of affinity group like a car club or a group of people that get together to play music. It's not those things. It's different. Those things are fine, but they aren't the church and should never replace the church because they're not gathered around the one thing that we're told to gather around, which is God's word. Even hanging, now get, hear this, even hanging out with just a few Christians privately is not the church. Okay, it's good. You should hang out with each other. But that's not church. Your city group is even not church. Church is when, as one body, the whole congregation gathers around God's word. And that's what happened in Nehemiah in this part of the story. The people of God unite around and gather around the word of God. I don't want you to miss this today. There are regular means of grace that God pours out through the gathered body. He only pours them out through the gathered body. There are things that God only can do when the church gathers together in a supernatural way that I frankly don't quite understand, but God says he does it that way. There's something supernatural happening even right now when we hear the word of God proclaimed in the body. There's something supernatural when the word is preached and the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper happen here. Right? Follow me. We believe in the Holy Spirit, right? Right, church? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he moves in these gatherings, right? And even the ones where we're bored and don't feel him moving, we should believe that the Holy Spirit's moving. There's things going on here. The Spirit is working, and I pray that our church would yearn for this. And the one way, or one of the ways that we see in this text, is through the proclaiming of the word. That's how the Spirit works. So when Brittany's up here reading that text and saying all those names that she did beautifully, better than I could, there's something supernatural happening that's different than you reading your Bible alone at home. You should read your Bible alone at home, but there's something different. I want to be a church that seeks to be together to read God's word, to hear it taught, that hold each other to the standards. That's what happened here, right? The people came together and said, hey, preach the word, please. It wasn't like they drug themselves in saying, man, I guess we got to go to church today. No, they're gathered and they say, well, we're all here. Will somebody please get up and preach the word? This should destroy or put to bed the idea that God, me, my Bible, and a cup of coffee is enough for me as a Christian. Again, don't give those things up. Well, maybe the coffee if you want to. But don't give up your private time with your Bible. You should do that. That's a different conversation for another day, but it's not enough, right? It's not in place of this. Our default position as God's people should be to get together, to gather, not to stay home. Now, that's true pre-pandemic, but it's also true during the pandemic, and it will be true after the pandemic. Missing church, here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to condemn anyone who's not here today, especially on a day where roads were icy and everything else. I get it. Okay, I'm not saying we are not slaves to attendance. What I'm saying is we should be slaves to God's word and do what he calls us to do. And when we do miss church, it should feel like a big deal. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I'm not saying if you choose not to come today for real conviction or real concerns that you should feel bad about that. I'm saying, but it should still feel like a heavy decision. It should be a heavy decision when you make the choice not to gather, or even if the choice is made for you and you're not able to gather. Again, if you're choosing right now not to attend, that might be totally okay. That might be a godly, wise response. It might be valid. But it should come after a time of deep prayer and counsel by other people. Let me be clear again, because watching online is not gathering. It's not. If you're making that choice, here's a phrase I want you to remember. It should be out of conviction, not convenience. If I'm making the choice to not come to the Lord's Day gathering, it should be conviction, not convenience. And before you think I'm just talking to the people that are watching online, I'm talking to us too when we decide I stayed up too late Saturday and I'm pretty tired and don't want to go to the Lord's Day gathering Sunday. That's also convenience over conviction in that sense, right? Or, yeah, I could come, this one might get ruffle some feathers. I could come home from my vacation a day early and gather with God's people, but I'm going to choose not to. Yeah, I don't think it's a sin if you go on vacation on a Sunday. I just want you to wrestle with that and feel the need to, should I be here with God's people today? Again, conviction, not convenience. Second reason we need to gather and rebuilding requires regathering is we gather to worship. As the people in Nehemiah hear God's word, it moves them to worship. Look at verse 6. It says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground." We gather together to worship the Lord. This is not separate from hearing his word. It's not like, as I try to be very clear, we talk about we worship through the hearing God's word preached, and we worship through singing. We don't have worship, then a second category of preaching, and then we go back to worship again. It's all worship. There's just musical worship, and then there's worship through reading of God's word and hearing it proclaimed. As we hear the word, actually, it should move us to deeper worship. That's what happens here. The word doesn't return void. It produces something in the hearts of those hearing it. It's a glorious cycle here, right? Because here's what happens. I come to church. I hear the word proclaimed. That drives me to worship my God. As I worship him and know him more and deeper, guess what I want to do? Learn more about him and hear his word again. I hear the word proclaimed. Move to worship. Want to hear more of it proclaimed. Move to worship. That should be the life of the believer. I'm going to keep this point short and simple. Do you feel this way when we gather? Do you come expecting to worship God today? Are you expecting to be moved by the word? And the word also, just like worship is not just singing, the word is not just preaching. We also read it together. We confess it together. We sing it together. Singing is no less proclaiming the word than me preaching. All of it is important. We do it all for a reason. Does that stir your heart in this way to make you want to raise your hands and cast your eyes down because you're seeing the beauty of the Lord? It should. And if it doesn't, it's time to take a little health check and talk to the Lord about why it doesn't. And it's okay if it doesn't right now. Just don't stay there. Seek the Lord. Ask him to reveal his glory and beauty to you. And this is another reason it's so important to gather with God's people. You can worship at your house, I do, but not the same way. We worship better together. You may think, no, I worship better alone at my house. The Bible would tell you that that's not true. You can have great times of worship at your house, but it shouldn't be better than what's happening here. You may think you worship better on your own, but you don't. The truest sense of worship of God is when his people come together. You know, one of the ways I know this, because when God makes all things new, our worship is mostly going to be together. We're going to be worshiping God together forever in eternity. It's the worship of his people together. Because here's what we do. We read this earlier. We sing songs to each other. We speak to one another. We see each other's faces. We're half of them right now. Right? We see body language. You can't do all of that at home. When I come in here and I see my friend who is, I know, going through it right now, and they are raising their hands and worshiping and singing about how great God is, that's something I can't get by myself. They are teaching me something about who God is that I can't see on my own. When they are going through it, I'm encouraged. Or the other side of that, maybe I see my friend who seems to have it all together, and they're weeping about their need for God. That helps me to worship God and know him better in a way I couldn't do by myself. And finally, we gather to understand God's word. I love this short passage for a lot of reasons. One of my favorites is how it talks about the need and the desire to understand what God's word says. We have this group, a little bit of a like summary of the story is, because there's a lot of names, it's easy to get tripped up in what's happening with these names. There's a group of people that are on a stage reading from the Bible or the Old Testament to these people. They're reading it out loud. Okay, and then there's a bunch of other people who are saying, help us understand. So another group of men comes down and is going around group to group helping people understand. Now, we don't totally know, are they translating it into their language? It might be. That's a super valid thing, and we should do that. That's why we read the Bible in English, not in Greek. It's good to, or Hebrew in this case. Or are they teaching? I think it's both, because it says it's helping them to get the sense. That sounds like it's someone teaching them, saying, here's what this means. Oh, you don't understand this? Let me help you. Right? It says they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. The word understand is mentioned 4 times in these 8 verses. 4 times. Some of you want to check me on that. I see you. You're like, let me find them quick. Right, they're answering questions. They're basically leading a city group on the spot here. That's what's happening. They're leading a city group. And that's what we do as the church. My goal in preaching every single week is not to give some great oration, although there's nothing wrong with that. My goal is to mostly give the sense of the word. I want you to leave here knowing, I know basically what Nehemiah 8, 1 through 8 is about. That's what I hope. And I also want to stir your affections and things like that as well. I want you to know what this book means. And then we meet in groups called our city groups throughout the week to gather together. And our leaders there help us answer questions. Our fellow members help us answer questions. We see how others are applying it, which helps me understand it better. I'm reminded of what Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 says. It says, in that verse, it tells us that this book is meant to be understood. God wrote a book for a purpose, and it's to reveal himself to you. So he's going to make it so that the average person can understand it. Because that's the point. Why would he write? God is good at what he does. If he wants you to understand who he is through a book, he's going to write a book you can understand. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 to 14 says this, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" In other words, you don't need somebody to totally tell you the code that's hidden in here. Right? I'm just telling you what this says. I'm reading it like a book and trying to help you understand it. "Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is near for you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." The Bible's meant to be understood, and you're meant to be able to do what it says. And when you don't understand, we have God's people. We gather to help us understand. That's what your city group's for. That's what church on Sunday is for. So how can you apply this? Because that's part of understanding it, right? Is to apply it. Well, come to hear God's word, understand it, and worship. Do that. Set in your mind, I'm going to simply come to do these 3 things today. I'm going to hear God's word, I'm going to worship him because of it, and then I'm going to try my best to understand what we said. I know that sounds simple, but if you just did that every week, if we all just did that every week, imagine the growth that would happen over 52 Sundays a year. Say you're here for 5 years. Do the math real quick. I'm not going to do it real quick, but that's hundreds. Hundreds of gatherings, like 250 gatherings. Did I do it right? that you would get to hear God's word preached. Add in city groups to that and add in your own personal Bible time. That's beautiful and wonderful. And I wanted to give us 7 quick tips. These, again, not exhaustive, to help us understand and come into a church gathering. There's a great book out there called How to Walk into Church. I'm blanking on the author. I'll add it in the email this week that you can read. How to Walk into Church. There's another article that I'll post on Facebook or something. It's about how to listen to a sermon. But I wanted to give us 7 ways that you can just come to this church, come to Delco, City Light Delco, and worship and come expecting. So first is come expecting God to move. Like, get yourself psyched up for it. My wife is really good at this. Sunday mornings, she makes it exciting at our house. Like, the kids are excited to come to church. She listens to worship music. She gets the house ready. Like, we're going to go talk to hear from God's word today. Come expecting to move, God to move. Second, come expecting to understand. I know it's easy for us. I've fallen in this. I'm going to go to church. I probably won't get anything they just said. No, come like, I'm going to understand it today. I'm going to make sure I do. And if I don't, I'm going to ask some questions. Third, listen attentively. Whatever that means for you. For many of us, that might mean take notes. For some of us, it might mean I can't take notes because then I get focused on taking the notes and not listening. But listen the whole way through. Fight the urge to like get on your phone and play games or whatever. I'll add this. Bring a like physical Bible if you have one. If you don't, we have them for you. It's helpful. When I try to use my phone as my Bible, I end up in no doubt a notification is going to pop up. And then I'm going to be on a rabbit hole and I'm going to miss 5 minutes or more. 5 minutes is probably being pretty relaxed there. Fourth, participate. This looks different for every person, so I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. I'll give you some ways that might mean. It might mean during worship raising your hands. It's not fake to raise your hands if you're a little nervous to do it or like, I'm a little scared. I'm not sure if this is me or not. Well, raise them. See if it helps you in worship. Try it. Maybe you're someone who is an active listener and you, by nature, like to talk back when someone's talking to you. Like you like to affirm, do it in here. I'm not going to lie, when you guys say amen and things, it gets, my preaching is better. And this is not me trying to just like coax it out of you or like shamelessly get you to say amen back to me. But participating helps you and it helps me. Because you're listening and you're following along. Taking notes is a way of participating. Whatever it is for you, praying throughout it, kneeling, whatever you need to do, participate. You're not here as an audience. You are an active participant in what's happening in this room. Fifth, read the passage beforehand if possible, but definitely afterwards if you can't read it beforehand. You know we're going to be in Nehemiah. Not a surprise. Next week, guess what we're going to be preaching about? Nehemiah. And it's going to be the next part of chapter 8. So read it. Read it once. See if you get it before you come in, and then read it afterwards. Six, find an application right away. This is super important. When I was a teacher, we used to always say this. It's especially true in the Bible, it's true in all of life. If you can't apply it, you didn't really learn it. You didn't really learn it until you can apply it. So before you leave today, before you go to bed tonight, find one way you can apply what you've heard today. Just one. Okay, I'm going to do this. Next week, I'm going to come having read Nehemiah before I come to church. Cool. And then finally, talk about the sermon with somebody. I don't care who. It can be your spouse. Can be your kids if they're old enough to understand. Kids are part of this, by the way. That's what all those who were able to understand, most people read that as like children who could, you know, speak and talk and hear. You know, so babies probably not, but like your 6-year-old, yeah, probably. So he's talking about. You can talk to them. If you can explain it to a 6-year-old, by the way, you really learned it, right? Talk to your city group. If you have no one to talk to about it, you don't have that excuse anymore because we have city groups. Our city groups are our midweek gatherings, and we encourage you to join one of them. If you don't know how to get connected with one, you can email Dan or me, dan@citylightphilly.com, or andy@citylightphilly.com. We'll have a link up later. I didn't tell the people on slides to get that ready, so that's on me, not them. But we'll get one up there. Talk about it with someone. Right? I'm going to end like this. It may be risky to attend our services. It is. You're always taking a risk when you leave your home. Right? But I want you also to weigh that with how risky it is to not attend our services. Give that the weight it deserves, and let's not operate in fear today. right? In this cultural moment, this current socio-political world moment, it's easy to be afraid. I feel it regularly. But here's the reason the Christian can face life unafraid. It's not because we are intrinsically brave. It's not. It's not because we believe that in Christ nothing bad will ever happen to us in this life. We don't believe that. In fact, we kind of preach the opposite regularly, that you will suffer. The reason we do not fear what man or disease or weather or accidents can do to us is because we fear God more, and we fear him instead. Again, there are wise reasons. Some people texted me today, should I come to church today or not? It's really icy where I'm at. And I said, no, be safe. You know, no reason to get hurt foolishly. Or I'm immunocompromised, or I live with someone who's immunocompromised. Okay, that's great. That's not great that you died. It's true. That's a great reason to watch online for a season. Okay, nobody, I don't want anyone to leave here feeling condemned unless it's the Spirit that's putting that conviction on you, right? Not condemned, convicted. And I want those of you who have been watching online feeling condemned, and maybe you're watching online for a good reason, I want you to hear also in this, like, you have freedom from the elders to keep watching online. That's also true. Nobody's thinking you're a bad Christian because you're the online crowd. Nobody's thinking that. My point is, let's gather together when we can, and it should be a priority for us. So finally, why do we gather today? This could be a whole sermon in itself, but I'm going to close with this. We gather because we've been gathered. We gather together because we've been gathered. We were once far off, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:13. Those who were far off were brought near. That means we used to be scattered, just like the Israelites here in this book, Nehemiah. And Christ died to bring us back, to bring us near. He gathered us to himself. And we will be gathered in the new heavens, new earth with him as one people, one body, one glorious nation. So we can gather today in these little outposts of that kingdom. We've been made into a new kingdom. We're like an embassy here. We can gather as an embassy. The Bible also says, I believe it's in Colossians, that the alienated were now brought in and made to be like family. You were alienated. I was alienated. We're brought together. So we can gather because we've been gathered by the blood of Christ. You see, Jesus Christ lived the life that none of us could ever live. That's why we failed over and over again, and that's why we were scattered. But Christ did what you couldn't in order to gather you back. And then he died the death you deserved, paying the price for your disobedience, so that now you can come to the Father and be seen as spotless as Jesus really was. And so let's remember that as we worship today. That's why we gather. That's why we worship. That's why we trust God's word. Even when it doesn't feel right to us, we trust that our feelings are the problem, not his word. And so let's worship as one body together today. I'm going to pray as our band comes up. Father God, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the ability and the space, the place, where if there's anywhere in the world that we can talk about hard things, it's right here in this church. In the church. It's when we're gathered around your word. It's when your people who are as one man, it said in Nehemiah, are gathered. God, may our eyes be cast to you. May our hearts be turned to you. May you be the center and all of why we do this today. Thank you for God, your worship gatherings, these worship gatherings are a gift you give to us. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for the gift that it produces in us, whether that's awe or repentance or joy or even sorrow at our sin, but sorrow that comes and turns into joy. And Lord, will you help us to be better worshipers? Not like it's a skill, but it's a heart condition. Will you make our hearts so we're better able to gather and worship you? We pray all this in Christ's wonderful, glorious name. Amen.